Luke chapter 22. We're going to read beginning in verse 24. You can stand together, please, if you would. I appreciate that. We stand around here out of love and respect for God's Word. We also stand when we sing to help us sing better. Amen. Also to keep our blood flowing and keep our eyes open.
Amen.
Amen. That's what they're supposed to do in church. They're supposed to stay open. Amen. Amen. Luke chapter 22, verse 24. There was also a strife among them, which of them should be accounted the greatest. And he said unto them, Jesus, of course, said unto them, the kings of the Gentiles exercise lordship over them, and they that exercise authority upon them are called benefactors. But ye shall not be so. In other words, God says, you're not supposed to live like the lost world. What's valuable to us is not the same as what's valuable to them, but he that is greatest, in verse 26, among you, let him be as the younger. He that is chief as he that doth serve. You want to be the greatest in God's kingdom, you need to be a servant. For whether is greater, he that sitteth at meat, or he that serveth? Is not he that sitteth at meat, but I'm among you as he that serveth. Ye are they which have continued with me in my temptations, and I appoint unto you a kingdom, as my Father hath appointed unto me, that ye may eat and drink at my table in my kingdom, and sit on thrones judging the 12 tribes of Israel. Verse 31. And the Lord said, Simon, Simon, behold. By the way, behold means listen. Listen. Pay attention. Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for thee, that thy faith fail not, and when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren. And he said unto him, Lord, I'm ready to go with thee both to prison and to death. And then Jesus, he said, I tell thee, Peter, the cock shall not crow this day before thou, that thou shalt thrice deny that thou knowest me. Verse 32 again says, I have prayed for thee that thy faith fail not. Can I preach to you this morning for a few minutes on the power of faith?
Amen.
Brother Ethan, would you mind sitting up here with these young men, please, and help them with their... I sure don't want them to miss out. Thank you, Brother Sammy. You can just squeeze in there between the two of them. I'm sure they'll let you. There you go. Amen. All right. Let's pray. Father, we want you to be honored today. You deserve it, Lord. We can't possibly honor you like you deserve, but we desire to bless your name. To preach, Father, the message with the Spirit that you give us, your Holy Spirit, and power, the unction, the anointing. God, I pray you'd save the lost. Strengthen your children today. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Thank you for going out of your way to help our visitors this morning. That's a blessing to my heart. I want to preach to you on the power of faith. The disciples here, like you and me, are distracted. Can I tell you that life is distracting? From the real thing that really matters, the only thing that really matters is that which is eternal. Amen? But yet life is full of things that are temporal. Life is full of things that really don't, that won't even be here tomorrow, but yet we so many times get distracted by those things that are temporary that we lose sight of that which is eternal. And the disciples are distracted. They want to be the greatest. There's only 12 of them, and they're trying to decide who's going to be the greatest. And get this, when Jesus is sitting right there beside them, and they're worried about who's the greatest. Are you listening to me? Isn't that crazy?
Yeah.
They're worried about who's the greatest when Jesus is sitting there listening to them. Huh? You guys are pretty dumb. Not that he would ever say that, because he's wise, and but he makes them feel dumb with his answers, amen. But Jesus answers them. He begins to teach them about being a servant. Aren't you glad? I am anyway. Aren't you glad that Jesus is a teacher? Aren't you glad that he can teach us something? Because we need to learn, by the way. Young people, I know you don't think you do. I know, especially those of you who are in high school, man, I know you got it all nailed down. I know you got everything figured out. And I was there one time too until I realized I didn't know anything. But you'll learn that one day, I hope. But the fact is, Jesus begins to teach them about being a servant, about being the greatest. The chief among them is going to be the one who serves the most, who serves other people. And then, he's not being hateful. He's teaching them because, listen, he loves these men. I want you to look in verse 28. This is a verse that has stuck with me over many years. He says to these men something very, very heartfelt here. He says, "Ye are they which have continued with me in my temptations." Many people had come and gone. Many people had come and gone and left Jesus and gone on with their lives. But he says to these disciples, he says, "You are the ones that have continued with me. You are the ones that have stuck with me. You are the ones that are still here." And you know, it's something when Jesus says that, it still touches my heart to think how Jesus appreciated people being faithful.
Amen.
Jesus appreciated that they didn't just leave him like everybody else had done. He said, "You're the ones that have continued with me through my times of sorrow, through my tears, through my disappointments." And yet Jesus went through all of that. "You're the ones that were there when I was hungry. You're the ones that were there when I was thirsty. You're the ones that helped me when I was weak and weary. You're the ones that were encouraging. You prayed with me." Don't ever underestimate the value of having people around you when you're going through trials.
Amen.
I'm talking about godly people. I'm talking about church people. Amen. Don't ever isolate yourself when you're going through a struggle in your life. That is the last thing you want to do. You want to be with people who can understand and who can encourage and who can help and who can be there for you, especially when you're in time of temptation, struggle, and trial. I mean, if Jesus needed it, don't you think we do? I guarantee you we do. Jesus said, I appreciate you, men. You're the ones that have stuck with me in my temptations. But then he says something interesting here in verse 31. And by the way, he rewards them for that. Verse 29 and 30, he appoints them a kingdom. They're going to judge the 12 tribes. That's a blessing. I mean, he's rewarding them for their faithfulness. And if you'll learn that, your life would change. If you would learn that God rewards faithfulness, your life would change.
Amen.
You would no longer pick things over God that have no value at all. You would no longer live for the foolishness things of this world. And you would realize that there's real treasure in a real heaven with a real God who really can reward me eternally if I'll just be faithful to Him.
Amen.
And if you learn that, your life would be different. Your life would be different.
Amen.
He rewards them, and he's telling them that, "You guys have been here with me. By the way, I'm rewarding you. You're going to sit on 12 thrones in heaven." Wow! Really? Hey, man! But then he says, he kind of changed his gears, so to speak. And he turns to a man named Simon in verse 31, Simon Peter. It says, "Behold," he says, "listen up, Peter. Look at me." That's what he's saying. Well, you can look at me too if you want to. But he's saying, "Behold," I mean, "listen, turn your ears on."
Amen.
Oh, flashback, I'm sorry there. "Turn your ears on, open your eyes, and listen to me. I'm about to tell you something very, very important. Satan hath desired to have thee." Now, he's saying you need to learn to be a servant. Remember all the things he's talking about. He's teaching these men as he goes. He's just constantly teaching, by the way. Don't ever think that you can stop learning. You don't ever want to stop learning. You need to be learning. Always let Jesus teach you something. Every time you sit down with the Bible, every time you come to church, every time you're in Sunday school, every day you read the Bible on your own. Don't ever stop learning. Let Jesus teach you something. But once in a while, he's not teaching now. Now he's warning. Now he's warning very, very much so, very clear as day. He says, Simon, Simon. Two names. Twice, repeated it. Destiny, destiny, behold. Now, mom always uses the middle name, right? But that's, we're not going there. To get our attention. Behold. And the next word out of Jesus' mouth is Satan. Now, right then and there, I think I better listen. Satan hath desire to have you. I think I need to lit up. I'd sit up and listen. There's not a single person in this room that's an exception. Satan hath desired to have you. Satan is not going to be happy until he has you. Satan, by the way, is not going to stop until he has you. Amen. Satan has desired to have you. Boy, isn't that encouraging? Isn't that exciting? Well, you know, listen, folks. If you're not sick, you'll never go to the doctor. If you don't know the danger, you're never going to listen to the cure. If you don't realize the severity of the situation, you're never really going to get serious about listening to what God has to say. And when God is saying Satan desires to have you, then we ought to listen on purpose. Amen. We'll listen on purpose. I don't want Satan to have me. I don't want Satan to have you. Amen. You shouldn't want Satan to have you. Amen. It could be that Satan already has some of you. Amen. Yeah, I said it could be that Satan already has some of you. Certainly has parts of you. By the way, it doesn't matter. He doesn't really care if you're smoking or drinking and doing drugs and all. You know what he wants? He just wants to be your God. He wants to control you. He wants you to do what he wants. He wants you to worship and serve him. He's not concerned about what kind of sin you're doing or not doing. He just wants to be in place of God in your life. Okay. That's what he wants. And if you serve him instead of serving God, he's got you. You don't have to smoke a single drug or drink a single drop of alcohol or do any kind of... If you serve him, he's got you. That's why the reason he fell out of heaven, by the way, because he wanted to be God. He doesn't care what kind of... He's not worried about what kind of sin. You just sin because you serve him, because your weakness... But what he wants is your loyalty, your service. That's what he wants. He wants you to answer to him and reject God. And then he's got you. He's got you. By the way, he didn't tell Eve to do anything wicked and evil. He told Eve to eat a piece of fruit.
That's right.
You say, well, Satan made me do it. No, Satan didn't make you do it. You're just serving him instead of serving God. Satan doesn't make you do anything. Satan just said, you do what I say, and then I'm fine. Satan said, eat that piece of fruit. Eat that piece of fruit. Just go ahead and eat that piece of fruit. Now, is that a sin? Not last time I checked. But God said not to eat that piece of fruit. So I had to make a decision. Who am I going to obey? Who am I going to be loyal to? Who am I going to honor? And when I honor Satan, even though it's not anything big and heinous, I'm still serving him and I'm turning my back on God. And then Satan has me.
Yep.
Satan has me. Because from there, I'm going to go downhill real fast. Everything in me is going to die.
Right. Amen.
Satan hath desired to have you, young man, young lady, sir, ma'am. Satan hath desired to have you. That, by the way, that means own you. Jesus says something that I very much relate to. He says, "But I prayed for you." He says, "I prayed for thee." Verse 32, "that thy faith fail not." You know, Jesus said, "You know what, Peter? The answer to the threats and the attacks of Satan is found in one word, and that's in faith." Faith. What? Faith? Now, look, it's almost like Jesus is saying, "Peter, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan's desire to have you, and I can't even do anything about it, but I'm going to pray."
Amen.
Because you know what? God doesn't make us do anything. As a preacher, I very, 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 very much relate to what Jesus is saying here. Because
yeah.
He's looking at Peter and he's saying, "Peter, I see and I know that Satan has desired to have you. I see, Peter, there's some tendencies in your life where you're going in the wrong direction, but all I can do is pray for you that your faith won't fail. Because I can't change you, Peter." You say, "Well, Jesus can't change people." Listen, He can work in situations. He can manipulate, control, I should say, in surroundings. He can turn people's hearts. Absolutely, He can. But listen, but He gives us a free will. He gives us a choice in the matter and everything. And so He doesn't control us. He simply He prays for us that our faith will not fail. Our faith will not run out. Our faith will not run dry, will not die.
Dead.
Boy, how many times have I seen people that I would love to say, "You know what? I see some things in your life that aren't right. I'm telling you right now, Satan's after you and he wants to have you. And how I would like to just get a hold of you and take you and put you in a padded cell somewhere where you're safe. Take away all your wrong friends, all your phones, all your iPads, all your television, all your music. Take away everything and put you in this padded room and say, 'Okay, now you're safe.' I can't do that though. I've thought about it. I can't do that. God doesn't do that. Jesus was standing right there and he said, 'Peter, Satan's after you, but I can't do anything about it, but I'm going to pray that your faith will not fail.'"
Amen.
A lot of power in faith, apparently.
Amen.
A lot of power in faith, apparently.
Amen.
My faith is what's going to keep me from being destroyed. And Peter's just like every good Baptist. Peter said in verse 33, "Lord, I'm ready." Okay, Peter. Jesus didn't laugh. I didn't mean to laugh, but I could just see Jesus' face. "Peter, no, you're not." "Lord, I'm ready." "No, you're not." "Lord, I'll die with you." "No, not quite." By the way, don't argue with Jesus.
Amen.
You're never going to win. It's never going to end well for you, my friend, when you argue with Jesus.
Amen.
When you think that you know better than what Jesus has plainly told you, like some of you are saying, well, you know what, I'm okay. Satan's not after me. See, you're arguing with Jesus, not with me. You're disagreeing with the Word of God, not with me. You're disagreeing with the God of heaven, not with me. Satan hath desired to have all of us. And I'm not going to argue with him. I think I'm going to listen on purpose. And I'm not going to say, well, Lord, I'm ready. Bring it on. No, I'm not going to say that. Peter said, Lord, I'm ready. Jesus said, no, you're not.
Amen.
And can I tell you? No, we're not.
Amen.
Peter said, me, man. Me, ready. Me, beat Satan. Jesus said, you're a idiot. He said, matter of fact, Peter, not only are you not ready, but you're going to deny me before the cock crows three times. Peter, you're broken. Peter, I can't fix you, but I'm praying for you. That's what he said. Know anybody like that? You're broken. Boy, I wish I could fix you, but I can't. But I can pray. I can pray. I can pray. Thank God for prayer.
Amen.
Oh, how we need to pray more.
Amen.
Broken people all over the place like Peter who know everything. They know better than Jesus. They know better than God. They're telling God what's going to happen. And Jesus is saying, Peter, oh, Peter. Oh, Peter. I tell you what, Jesus is a lot more patient than all of us, as you know that. And by the way, he doesn't argue with Peter, he just tells him the truth. My calling is to preach the Word of God, preach the Gospel, preach the Bible. I'm not going to argue with you.
Amen.
If you think you're okay, then my friend, you're probably just going to have to learn the hard way, like Peter did. If you think that you're okay and your own strength and your own determination is going to be okay, then I'm not going to argue with you. No point in that. But the Bible is still the Bible, and it's going to be here way before it was here way before you were ever thought of, and it's going to be here way after you're gone, and it's still the Word of God. It's forever settled in heaven. It is my rock. It's my shield. It's my sword. It's everything to me. It's as much God as God is, and it's right. And if you disagree, you're wrong.
Amen.
I'm not going to argue with you though. That's not my calling. That's not my job. That's not my place. By the way, that doesn't do anybody any good.
Amen.
Jesus didn't argue. He said, Peter, you're wrong. I'm right.
Amen.
That's what he said. He said, Peter, you're wrong. And because of your pride, you're going to embarrass yourself even more so before you ever wake up and realize I'm right. That's what Jesus said. But what I'm going to do in the meantime is pray that your faith doesn't fail. The word fail means quit. It means run out. God's love never runs out, but my faith does. Are you listening to me? God's salvation never ceases, but my faith can. God's grace never runs dry. Are you glad for that? Amen. But my faith can. God's mercy never dies, but my faith can. Are you listening to me? My faith can.
Amen.
Your faith can.
Amen.
Greater faith then is what we need, and what was going to keep Peter from being destroyed obviously must be pretty important. Pretty powerful. Faith has great power. Faith is great power. Why? Because faith, listen now, don't miss this. Watch me. Faith connects me to all the power of the universe. Do you hear what I said? Faith connects me to the power source.
Amen.
You can get a vacuum cleaner out here and push this thing around all day long, and you won't pick up a single speck of dirt off this carpet. But when you plug it in,
amen.
Whoo, man! All of a sudden, right, Benny?
Yes,
It starts picking up dirt. It starts doing what it was designed to do. How about that?
Amen.
Well, preacher, I know that. Okay, then listen. We got to get plugged into the power source of heaven, or Satan's going to have us. He's going to have you. That's exactly what Jesus is telling Peter. Faith is pretty powerful then. Faith is the power of God. Turn over to Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11. I'm hurrying. Hebrews chapter 11. Why is faith so powerful? Well, it is the power source, but I want to tell you and give you some more examples here of how faith does help us. How faith keeps us from being devoured, destroyed by Satan. How faith keeps us in God's will. Number one, why is faith so powerful? Hebrews 11, verse 1. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. Number one, the why is faith so powerful? Because faith rests on the Word of God. Faith rests on the Word of God. Verse 3 says, through faith we understand the worlds were framed by the Word of God. All that we talk about faith, it's not just believing whatever we want to believe. It's believing the Word of God. It's believing the Bible. It's believing the God of the Word. It's me not just resting on the Word of God, but listen, it's me relying upon the God of the Word.
Amen.
My faith is not some feeling. Can I tell you that? It's not a feeling. It's just me relying and resting and believing and trusting God's Word.
Amen.
That's what faith is. Mark 11:22 says, have faith in God. Jesus told Peter the same thing. He said, have faith in God. Faith is not me believing whatever I want to believe. It's believing God. So when I believe God, right then and there, that's my first step to getting away from Satan's destruction, because I believe God. And when I, listen, if you don't believe God, you might as well just sit there and go back to sleep, because the rest of this is not going to help you. Because you have got to believe that book. You have got to believe that Bible. You have got to understand that that is the Word of God.
Amen.
That is not some book. That is not some fairy tale. It's not some fable. It is fact. It is 100% all the Word of God.
Amen.
And if you don't believe that, you are history.
Right, amen.
You're going to be history. History. We'll be talking about you one day, how you used to be here, how you used to be right, how you used to sit in church, how you used to believe the Bible, how you used to be happy, how you used to have a home, how you used to have a family, how you used to have a smile on your face. Now you're just completely wiped out because you did not believe the Bible.
Amen.
That's the Word of God. Every word of God is pure and powerful.
Amen.
Every single the, a, and, it, every word, it is God's Word.
Amen.
And if you don't believe that, your history. Your history. Faith rest on the Word of God, because I rely on the God of the Word. Why is faith so powerful? Because this book has never been destroyed. Satan has tried for so many centuries to destroy the book, destroy the Bible, destroy it, burn it, burn it, destroy it. He can't do it. He can't never do it.
Amen.
So when I rest on the Word of God, when I believe the Word of God, there begins the power over Satan.
Amen.
Faith is powerful because faith is rested relying on the Word of God.
Amen.
Hebrews 11 verse 5. By faith Enoch was translated that he should not see death. It was not found because God has translated him, but before his translation he had this testimony that he pleased God. Enoch walked with God. Well, I don't have time to go back to Genesis and talk about that, but Enoch walked with God, and they walked so much together that God finally just took him. Just took him to heaven. Didn't ever have to die. So my faith, according to verse 5, walks with God. My faith walks with God. Listen, and that pleases God. And when I begin to believe God's word, listen now, don't miss this. I believe God's word, and so I believe it's God's word, so I cherish it, I value it. And then so I begin to walk with God in God's word, which pleases God. So God begins to honor me because I honor Him by pleasing Him. Now I'm giving you something here that will help you. It's very practical stuff, but you know, but this is a very practical life, is it not? It all begins with that book in your lap. And then I not only do I believe that book, but I walk with God through that book, and that pleases God. According to verse 5, it pleased God that Enoch walked with Him. It made God happy. It honored God. It blessed God. It made God happy. It pleased Him. So faith believes the Word of God. Then faith walks with the God of the Word. And listen, faith knows that I have to wait on God. Number 3, wait on God. Oh boy. Now this is where I just begin to lose people left and right. Verse 7, by faith Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. Now quickly, what am I talking about? Waiting on God. He built that ark for 120 years. Now listen now. God told Noah it's going to rain, Noah, and the world had never even seen rain. So not only did Noah wait on God, but he waited on God for 120 years. Why? Because he had faith. In what? In God's Word.
Amen.
God told him. God said, Noah, it's going to rain. What is that? That's God's Word. And so God's Word came to me because Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Amen. God blessed him. God honored him. And then God said, Noah, I'm going to use you to build an ark. Because it's going to rain, it's going to flood, I'm going to flood the world. And so Noah, for 120 years, faithfully did what God said, waiting on God's word to come true, and it did. It did. And it did. Faith waits on God. By the way, this gives me strength. So how does waiting on God give me strength? Well, I walk with God and I wait with God, relying on the Word of God. You see, and then that gives me strength every day of my life. Because while I'm waiting on God, I'm walking with God. I'm spending time with God. I'm spending time in His Word. And that faith comes by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. And they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. Be of good courage. Wait on the Lord. Be of good courage. And He shall strengthen thine heart. That's where strength comes from, church. The spiritual strength to keep moving forward, to keep fighting the devil. We're talking about Satan, remember? Not devouring us. Faith is what we need. More faith is what we need every day. The Word of God gives us more faith, which gives us more strength, which helps us walk with God, wait on God. It's all about faith. Faith also works for God.
Amen.
Hey, you don't build an ark without working.
Amen.
I'm going to wait on God while I sit on my couch. That's not waiting on God according to the Bible. Now, we wait on God in prayer. We do need to do that. We need to gain strength from God in prayer. But then when you take the strength that God gives us, what, by the way, what do you need strength for? To keep sitting on the couch? You know what you need strength for is to work.
Amen.
Oh, I know that's a four-letter word nowadays. It doesn't take a whole lot of strength to play PS, whatever, 14 now, whatever it is. It doesn't take any strength to watch another movie at 3 o'clock in the morning so you can sleep through church. It doesn't take any strength to sit around. Strength God gives you is to serve Him with. Amen.
Amen.
And see, as I faith, resting on God's Word, waiting on God, walking with God, then I begin to work for God because He gives me strength, because I realize there's something. And by the way, don't miss this. commit your works unto the Lord and your thoughts will be established. That's why your thoughts are so crooked. That's why your mind is so polluted. Because you're thinking about everything. But God says, if you'll work for me, I'll change your thoughts.
Amen.
Praise God. Amen.
I'm telling you what the Bible says. Now, a minute ago, you said you believe the Bible, right?
Amen.
I'm still preaching the Bible.
Amen.
I'm still talking about not getting devoured by Satan. Amen. Now, you all were all okay with that, but now I'm giving you exactly what faith is. All of a sudden, it means work. Well, if you have faith, you will work. That's what I'm saying. It's a joy to serve the Lord.
Amen.
Remember, Jesus said, "The greatest, the chiefest among you shall be your servant." That Jesus said it.
Amen.
I'm just saying what he told you.
Amen.
I'm just reiterating it. Faith took Noah 120 years to build an ark, which, by the way, with just old-fashioned, what my mom used to call elbow grease. Elbow grease. That's that grease in there, you know. Giovanni, ever squirt grease in your elbow, man? Elbow grease is that it's old-fashioned muscle. You have to wash those dishes. But Mom, this is caked on there for 3 weeks. Elbow grease, son. But Mom, all my friends are playing outside. Well, hurry up and you can... No, but Mom, I can't get this off. Elbow grease. Mom. I was tortured as a child, can't you tell? Oh, yeah. Oh.
Yeah.
But as you can tell, I'm still traumatized by all that. But the fact is, folks, work is healthy.
Amen.
Especially when you work for God. It'll help you think straight. It'll help you think clearly. It'll give you godly thought patterns instead of all the filth that runs through the average mind. Faith works, folks. Show me your faith by your works. Faith without works, by the way, has failed. It's dead. Faith without works is dead. That's what Jesus told Peter. I pray that thy faith fail not. Faith works for God, which controls my mind and which controls my thoughts. Faith, by the way, worries about nothing because faith trusts God. Look in verse 8. By faith Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should have to receive for an inheritance, obeyed, and he went out not knowing whither he went. Let's try that with the average Baptist today. Here's what I want you to do. I want you to take all your belongings and sell them. Just give them away and then move. Where, Lord? Just move. Just start traveling. Where? Well, just start traveling. I'll show you where. Just go that. Which way do I go? Just travel. Just go. But where am I going to get the money? Where am I going to get the food? Where am I going to... See, faith... Abraham didn't say, God! God! Faith, you know what Abraham did? Okay, let's go. Let's go. The Bible says he didn't even flinch. He obeyed without knowing where he was going. He wasn't worried about it because he was trusting God. You know what I'm talking about? I'm talking about peace. Peace in your heart. Peace. What it means when I don't worry about things, I trust God, I have peace. Do you know what that word even means anymore? Peace.
Amen.
Most of us don't even have peace when we're sleeping.
Amen.
Peace is something that overcomes our worry and our fears, and we rest peacefully in the arms of God, trusting Him by faith that He's going to take care of this old world. He's going to take care of this big mess. I'm just going to follow Him.
Amen.
And that gives me peace. I need more peace. I don't know about you.
Amen.
Because you know what Satan does is he starts making you worry about everything. Everything. And God says, you need more faith. You need more faith. And you, so instead of trusting God, you try to fix everything. I guess I'm the only one. Amen. You try to fix everything when God says, just follow me. I'll lead you. I'll guide you. I'll direct. But where are we going, Lord? Don't worry about that. And desperation sets in. Well, peace is not anywhere close to related to desperation.
That's right.
Yeah. Be careful for nothing, the Bible says. But in all things, in prayer and supplication, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace which passeth all understanding shall keep your hearts and minds. Keep your hearts and minds means guard you, protect you from what? From Satan! Peace. Faith worries about nothing. Faith trusts God. Faith gives you great peace then. Verse 9, James chapter 11. By faith he sojourned in the land of promise in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose maker, builder and maker is God. What am I saying here? Faith wants more of God even in the trials. Hey, listen, I'm just asking you, I'm trying to help you, help yourself, amen. I need more faith, so do I have faith? Here's a few things. Well, if I have faith, I'm going to want more of God in my trials. He looked for a city. Look, he was sojourning in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles. That means tents, folks. That means he had left his home, left his belongings. Now he's living in tents. Are you listening? He's living in a strange country with people that talk strange language, that have strange clothes, that look strange, that smell strange, and he's living in tents. And he's looking, but he's looking for what? He's looking for God.
Amen.
In the middle of all that. In the middle of all that, he's looking for more of God. He wants to be closer to God. Are you listening to me today?
Amen.
That's what faith does. Faith wants more of God. Faith will never quit on God. Look in verse 27, the same chapter. I'm jumping over here. By faith, speaking of Moses, he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king. Notice, for he endured. Oh, God help us. Give us some Christians that will endure.
Amen.
He endured what? Well, he endured hardness. He endured persecution. He endured forsaking Egypt and wrath of the king. He endured, why? As seeing him who is invisible. That's faith. Faith is the evidence of things not seen.
Amen.
Moses endured what? He endured all of that. Why? Because he was not going to quit on God. Why? Because he had faith.
Amen.
Faith doesn't quit on God. This allows me to see God's power. Look, verse 30 says, by faith the walls of Jericho fell down after they were compassed about 7 days. You know what? Hey, listen. I'm almost done, but y'all need to listen. Somebody needs some help here tonight, this morning. I don't know why I keep saying tonight. Bright sunshine. Anyway, y'all forgive me. They went around that wall of Jericho one time on the first day. Nothing happened. Two times. Next day, second time, nothing happened. They went around that wall the third time. Nothing happened. By this time, you know, they're going home and they're starting to look at each other and murmur in their tents. We done gone around this wall 3 days. We done walked around this wall 3 days. And by the way, Joshua told them, you can't say anything. You can't talk. So they had to be quiet and walk around the wall 3 days. Then they had to do it again on the fourth day. And then by the fifth day, I mean, they got back to their tent by the fifth day and they said, okay, look, I'm just about done here. I mean, after all, these walls are huge. By the way, they were wide enough for four chariots to go across them abreast. They reached the sky. They made men look like grasshoppers. They were humongous, fortified walls, and all the children of Israel are doing walking around the walls. Joshua, we've done this now 5 days in a row, and then we got to go do it again. And Joshua said, that's right. And you know what we're going to do tomorrow? We're going to wake up and we're going to do it again.
Yeah.
I would have done lost most of y'all by day three. Two, maybe. Maybe two. But God said to do it. But I got better things to do. Like what? Like what? Eat chips? Watch whatever you watch nowadays? I don't even want to guess. Don't tell me. I don't want to hear it. So day six, and then day seven says, Joshua, so today's the last day. Yeah, today's the last day. But we're only going to walk around seven times today. What? Dude. Seven times? We done walked around it six times, Joshua. You're crazy, man. You're out of your mind. I'm going to go find another church. I'm going to go find me another church. I want results now. Well, that's not faith. That's not faith. Can I tell you something? Faith always wins. I could have said that a long time ago, but I wanted to build up. Faith always wins.
Amen.
The walls fell. The walls fell flat. By the way, don't you remember, they were walking around the exterior boundary, so those walls could have crushed all of them. But what did they do? They just went straight into the ground. They fell flat. Because faith wins.
Amen.
Amen.
Faith wins. Satan loses. Faith wins. Satan dies. God lives.
Amen.
Faith wins.
Amen.
But not if you don't have it. Not if you don't live by it. Not if you let it die. Then Satan wins. Satan hath desired to have thee. By the way, according to 1 John 5:4, this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our
faith.
Overcometh the world? What? What do you mean the world? Anything and everything this world can throw at you, victory comes through faith.
Amen.
Faith. Faith. Not just you believing what you think sounds good. Faith resting in this book. Relying on the God of this book. I want to draw your attention. Don't turn over there, but just listen and I'm done. Jesus said, Simon, Simon, behold! Behold! Satan hath desired to have thee. May sift thee as wheat. But I have prayed for you that your faith fail not. And then he says something interesting. He said, and when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren. Not if. Isn't that good? I kind of want to have fit there, man. Not if, but when.
Yeah.
In other words, Jesus always gets his prayers answered.
Amen.
Amen.
And he's praying for you.
Amen.
And he's praying for you.
Amen.
And he's praying for me.
Amen.
And he says, when thou art converted. What does that mean? That means if your faith does not fail, you will be converted. You will be strong. You will not be devoured. You will win. God always wins.
Amen.
It's not if, it's when.
Amen.
Isn't that good? I like it. You may not, but I like that.
Amen.
I like that part, that not if. I'm not. It's not about, well, if this Christian life is real. No, no, no. It's when we see Jesus, we will be in heaven.
Amen.
Not if. When our faith becomes sight, I will know that He is risen. He is alive. He is Lord. He is King. When thou art converted, then you'll see victory.
Amen.
I like that part. Not if, but when. Faith always wins. Not if, but when. There's power in faith, church. Because it's the power of all of God, all of heaven, all of the universe. Plug in today, will you? Plug back in. If you're unplugged, get back in the source. Faith wins. Faith begins when you get saved. Can I tell you that? You say, preacher, if I died right now, everybody look at me. Everybody look at me. Everybody look at me. Everybody look at me. Preacher, if I died right now, I know without a shadow of a doubt, I go straight to heaven because I place my faith in Jesus Christ. Raise your hand. I know I'm saved. I know I'm going to heaven. Put your hands down. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Father, I thank you, Lord, for faith that you give us, faith that you put in our hearts, faith that this book, Lord, helps us, teaches us, guides us, strengthens us. Lord, thank you that Jesus didn't say if, but he said when thou art converted. Lord, what a blessing that is to my soul. When we see Jesus, and that faith becomes sight, we'll know forever, without a doubt ever again, that we're in heaven. Oh God, thank you. Thank you for Jesus. Thank you for faith that's as strong as all the power of all of heaven. God, this morning I pray for souls that are sitting here that have never really placed their faith in Jesus. They don't know they're going to heaven.